a presentation of the Match Talk Podcast Network.
Hello, wrestling fans. It's time for the World Wrestling Resource Podcast. The World Wrestling Resource was made that you as a wrestler, parent, coach, or fan can have access to all the resources of the very best in the world of wrestling. I'm three-time wrestling writer and broadcaster of the year, Jason Bryant, and I want you to join me, along with John McGovern and world champions Terry Brands and Dennis Hall, as we talk training tips, topical discussion, mental preparation, and more on the World Wrestling Resource Podcast. World Wrestling Resource is sponsored by Defense Soap. Find World Wrestling Resource on Facebook at facebook.com/World Wrestling Resource and follow us on Twitter at WWRESO and, of course, on the web at worldwrestlingresource.com. Now on to the show as we join John McGovern, Terry Brands, and Dennis Hall.
World Wrestling Resource on location here in Dortmund, Germany at the Junior European Championships with Ann Storr. The marketing and communications coordinator for United World Wrestling, or as they say in Germany, UWW, or yes, UWW around. Well, we don't say our W's, we say them as V's. That's Germany. But anyway, welcome to the program, and
Thank
we're going to be
you.
Talking about marketing as it turns to United World Wrestling. Your role, you've been with the company for a year and a half now, and overall impressions of the sport of wrestling coming into it as an outsider.
It's amazing. Like, for me, I see a lot of parallels to my own sport, the passion, the discipline, like the psychological facts. So first, I had like a very neutral opinion about it, but now I'm like, I'm really engaged, especially obviously I'm a woman, so the girls like absolutely fascinate me, and I love watching wrestling.
Yeah, as we record this today, it's the first day of the women's tournament. We finished freestyle already now with women's freestyle. Your background, you talked about your own sport. You were a pole vaulter and for Germany. You're from Germany, and you had that background of being an elite-level athlete. What are some things that you learned from your athletic career that has helped you into this role with United World Wrestling?
I think one of the main aspects that really helps me is I can focus, better than other people that don't have the athletic background in like tough situations, especially during competitions when there's a lot of stuff going on. I can still prioritize my task, and I keep a level head, and I'm still excited about everything.
So people here, you're from Germany. You spent some time in the U.S., so your English is pretty well. I mean, people here in Europe tend to speak more than one language, but talk about your time in the United States.
So when I was 15, I decided to take 6 months outside of Germany to train in Montana, in Great Falls, actually. So very random choice, but I was allocated. But I have to say, like, experiencing like the high school education, especially physical education, it helped me so much to understand I can go to school but also start training before school, and took it all in. It was super exciting going to school. Obviously, it helped me with my English as well, because going very young, you pick up the accent very easily. I watched wrestling there, obviously, big sport as well. So, you train together. You're all like high school athletes together. It's fantastic.
We were talking in Novi Sad, which kind of sparked the idea for this interview, about what your preconceived notions were of the United States before you got here as a 15-year-old. And you end up in Montana. Talk about what you thought the U.S. was coming in, and what you discovered about Great Falls, Montana, as by comparison.
I think, in Europe, we perceive the U.S. more the East and the West Coast, like New York and L.A. That's what we think U.S. is about. And then you're 15 and you end up like in this incredible state in terms of nature, like the Great Plains, the cowboys, Native Americans. I knew about it, but then again, it felt like you're in such a big country, but it's so little, like a village more. And a lot of people were surprised, like, about a German coming to the U.S., especially in that state. And I think a lot of people were surprised about, like, what we do, what our culture is. So I had a great exchange also learning about this type of America, and I'm very grateful to got to know that America, too.
So as you move into the marketing and communications role, what was your background in marketing before landing with United World Wrestling?
I studied international relations and marketing, and then I did a master degree in sports management, as well as in Olympic studies, so more the philosophical side. And then I worked for Adidas, actually, in global events and the global headquarter in Germany. And then I want to go back into where my passion lies, Olympic movement, Olympic sports. And I come from a background that Latin and ancient Greek, I learned that in high school. So like wrestling is the obvious choice to go for.
Now, so you work with a big brand, Adidas, a worldwide brand. Many people know it. It's obviously it's one of the big shoe companies in wrestling.
Yes.
And they have such a strong foothold, no pun intended, within the sport of wrestling. What did you learn there that you immediately were able to implement at United World Wrestling?
I think it's one of the things I've learned. You have to express like yourself. You have to come up with maybe crazy ideas, new ideas, have a great vision of doing things differently, however, stick to traditions, and just express your voice in trying something new, because you can fail. You just need to fail fast and then reevaluate and come up with something better. But I feel wrestling has been for a long time in a comfort zone, and now with the great team I'm working in, I'm so blessed, because we try to push the boundaries and listen more to the athletes as well, like focusing more on the athlete themselves and their background story. And I think that's a great story to tell.
Go back to 2013. This is before you're with the organization, but what was your initial reaction when the IOC initially had slated wrestling to be removed from the Olympic Games?
To be honest, I was really shocked. I mean, coming not really being into the background of why it was taken out. Then I did my research, obviously, because I'm very interested in the Olympic movement. And I think, you know, they had a fair point, I think, the IOC. But I'm more than happy that wrestling stayed on, because for me, wrestling is the original Olympic sports, going back to 805 before Christ. I mean, it's with the Olympics without wrestling do not make sense to me.
So with that being said, you just said that the opportunity was to fail fast. Do you feel the old regime, based on what you knew about it before you were brought on, before when it was still FILA, when they failed really slow?
That's a good question, because I wasn't there at that point. So for me, it's very hard to judge that. But what I can say, since 2013, I think we made huge improvement in all directions, bringing on new, fresh minds, bringing on young people, also bringing on more women, which I'm very excited about, because it used to be very male dominated. But now I feel like it's opening up, and people are more open to new ideas, to explore the sport, and giving athletes a stronger voice, which I really, really like.
Part of those new voices and outreach underneath the word marketing. Marketing means something different as it did 10 years ago. You've got social media, you've got video broadcasting, and you've got the outreach, like the things in Southeast Asia and the African continent. What are some things that United World Wrestling has implemented that you've been most proud of that maybe doesn't get the notoriety that it deserves?
I think working more globally, we are going to places. We're actually going to competitions to learn the story behind an athlete, to look behind the wrestling mat. How do they train? How do they live? What type of personality is that person? I'm also trying to create more ambassadors for this sport, because there are fantastic people out there. And I think what we are also trying to do is tackle language barriers, having more people on site that can help us to translate, to get even to markets where maybe English is not like a well-spoken language. Like, I mean, there are wrestling nations that, you know, like Russia or Japan or Iran, that we can utilize a lot more and create an even bigger buzz about wrestling and, you know, share the whole passion for the sport with everyone on the planet because of social media. It's so much easier to reach those people as well.
Yeah. And your role seems to cross with you and Gordon Templeman, who works there, and then you with T.R. Foley on the media side. How does your position kind of blend with both of their roles in terms of, you know, and an event organization with the technical people over here, Davidas and his crew? I mean, you seem to have a hand in pretty much everything and involved in each aspect of an event.
Yeah, I think that's one of the exciting parts working for an international federation and not having a huge team. We're all doing a lot of things at the same time. We are hands-on with the television, we're hands-on with branding, with sponsorship, with sports presentation, marketing. So it all falls under marketing as well as communications. So we're trying. It's hard to say this is my specific role because every day it's something new that comes up.
What's one thing from a branding standpoint that you're pleased that the organization, whether it started before you got there or while you were there the last year and a half, I look around, I see UWW logos, the banner, the branding. It seems more eye-catching than the two globes in the feel of word.
Yeah, I mean, when Gordon came on board, and that was before me, I think that was one of his first big projects to change the look and feel of United World Wrestling, even changing the name to United World Wrestling, which is a bit more attractive, obviously, than Fila, because there is a sport manufacturer that has the same name.
The shoe.
Yeah. So I'm really proud that looking around and going to events, they all have a similar look and feel. We have different colors, so you, even if you're not a regular wrestling spectator, you know, oh, this is the World Championships.
World Championships are blue, a continental, like here where at is maroon or reddish.
Yes, and then we have the World Cups that are green and the Golden Grand Prix that was golden. So, you know, we have those identifications that I believe make a huge difference for the spectators. Maybe not to some of the athletes, but I think it is a better sports presentation and it becomes more attractive, whether it's live or on TV.
Yeah, and when we talk about the promotions, whether it be television with Hit the Roof, the production company that beams it out to Eurosport and all the potential outlets that could pick it up here in Europe, and the live stream, which I've been brought in for the last two European events. Why is it important that these events be available for television networks or anybody around the world to watch them via live stream?
You know, I think especially with social media and the world being very technological, you have to be available on every platform and you have to offer every single person that is really passionate about wrestling the possibility to watch it, whether it's live, whether it's on television or on a tablet. And I believe the future is more going towards watching it online rather than TV, because you can access it now, you can access it whenever you want and you consume it live or delayed. And I think that's fantastic.
What challenges does an outside body like the IOC present to an international federation? Wrestling recently was announced that it was going to lose some spots at the Olympic Games moving forward. What challenge does that present for United World Wrestling in your role specifically?
Well, I think for us, you know, we always fight, obviously, for our sport because this is what we want to do and we want to see it succeed and staying it on the program and having as many athletes as possible. So what we're trying to do from our standpoint is obviously highlighting how many fans we have. And it's so important that they stay on the sport and support us and watching it or coming to the events, because that's something we can present and say our community is behind us. It's not just us as the core group that wants to keep the athletes or keep the categories alive, but it's also we obviously need the support from the fans, and this is what we're always trying to emphasize with the IOC, that we have a fantastic fan base, we have a fantastic community, and we don't want to see wrestling being taken off or cut down or anything.
Is it kind of hard to come into a sport that you didn't necessarily have a background in an organization that's not really had the best track record prior to the changeover and the new administration? How do you combat that stigma that's still associated with the old regime?
I came in being very neutral. I mean, I think it's very hard to find any IF that didn't struggle with like problems in terms of good governance. So, you know, at some point you have to acknowledge that this is a fact, but I'm very optimistic person, and I believe we can change. Each individual can change that stigma, and that's why I'm here, because I believe there are good people out there. I think there are people that have the sport at their heart and make the decisions because they love the sports and not for their own personal sake. So I'm very positive about that. That we're embracing that.
One thing that really drives viewers in Olympic years are the stories that captivate the female audience. Figure skating, for example, in the Winter Olympics is huge in terms of people going to the events and people watching on television, whereas it's not nearly as big in a World Championships year or something. There's a significant drop off in interest. What is the key to getting the female viewer interested in the stories behind wrestling, not just women's wrestling, but wrestling as a whole?
Yeah, I think with having female wrestling or women's wrestling on the program since Athens is obviously a huge plus. And now with coming up more and more in media and in everywhere that women should be strong, can be superheroes, you know. And I feel like wrestling falls into that category. It's not about just being like a figure skater, being petite, being like the very artistic. It's also women should be strong. Women can fight for themselves. It's the combat, like one-on-one, you can succeed as a woman as well. And I think that's a fantastic message to bring across for us. And to, you know, make more people aware. And I think a lot more women, and especially young girls, are more prone to wrestling or combat sports in general because now they've been told it's cool to be strong and it's cool to be a fighter.
As you talk about that, as I went to get a European Pepsi, which tastes slightly different than the American varieties, I was walking past some kids and there was an athlete signing autographs for a bunch of little girls with the posters. How much of that plays a role into the event marketing and coordination behind it where, okay, we need to have posters to give them the kids. So, I mean, I think this wrestler, she lost and she was there signing autographs for like 10 little girls and even some little boys there.
No, I think it's very important, and I think this is what we more and more want to embrace. As I said before, I think it's so important that we're creating those ambassadors for our sport and having them speak out as well, because we're the international federation. So if I speak for them, it doesn't make really sense. We need athletes to speak up for us and saying, this is why I love the sports and this is why I'm doing it. And I think, Grace Bolin today was also a huge success with the little girls because her backstory is just fantastic.
Yeah, so, for those who don't know, she was born in Eritrea, which is a country in Africa, which if you haven't heard of it, it's a relatively new country. It broke off from Ethiopia probably 20, 25 years ago at this point. Mm-hmm. And that's where she was adopted by a family in Norway. And now she's just crushing people. She's really good. So she's going for her third junior European championship later as we record this. But another thing that jumps out at me is this is primarily an American listenership on this show is the understanding that people don't necessarily think the same as Americans in terms of marketing promotion. What is it from a European background that you've seen that your interactions with people from the United States has been different? And you're like, wow, I didn't realize that perhaps they thought about it this way. Is it something you learn, you know, maybe going back to your days at Adidas, is that open in your eyes and how things can be marketed outside of Europe?
Yeah, I mean,
we're kind of bullheaded as a culture. metric system.
I mean, I've seen it with Adidas, obviously trying to make a huge move into the American market and like expanding the headquarters in Portland, obviously. And there is a different mentality to marketing. I think what the U.S. does really well is market the athletes very well. Obviously, it's more about selling the emotions and triggering emotions from the customers to purchase a shoe or whatsoever. And I think with Gordon and Tim having two Americans on the team, I think we have a mindset that is very international. It's not strict to European marketing methods. We're branching out and thinking outside the box and trying new stuff. And I think that's very exciting.
When you come to the end of a tournament and you're here for 6-7 days and it's multiple times, whether it be the Europeans, the junior Europeans, the cadet worlds, the junior worlds, the senior worlds, what do you want to accomplish each time? And what have you accomplished each time when you leave an event?
It depends on the event, but here I'm already impressed. You know, it's a junior European Championships, the level of branding they have. I think it's fantastic. You always have to consider budgets, obviously. For me, it's always important also talking to different national federations, keeping the network going, talking to people, talking to the young athletes. Hey, do you like our Facebook? What do you like the most? And, you know, there are amazing stories that come up, and even having some translators on site so I can even talk to young athletes I couldn't talk to otherwise, but also, you know, meeting some of our bureau members, explaining to them what we are doing, because sometimes I feel this is, they miss out on things and don't see that it's going forward, but then they are super excited about what our team is doing, and it's a lot of more about people connection and making sure that at some point all of our events have the same consistency in terms of quality. And I think we're on the way there. It's very exciting.
And as I alluded to, the World Championships coming up, Junior Worlds in Finland, Senior Worlds in Paris, Cadet Worlds in Athens. Promotion-wise, the Senior World Championships this year at the NCAA Championships, Paris Lute had a booth at the Fan Festival at the American College Wrestling Championships. How much did United World Wrestling work with the Paris folks about, okay, we need to go beyond our own borders here in France and in our countries here in Europe to get the American fans to say, hey, let's come to Paris. I mean, how much of the marketing and your job goes into what the French are doing to promote their world championships?
I mean, it's up to them, obviously, to do that. But we're in very close contact with them, discussing their ideas and how they want to market the event. And we can obviously give them guidance a bit from what we've learned from the past. So it's more an exchange and a teamwork. Really, it's teamwork. But the execution lies with the organizers, how they want to do it. But they always come back to us and present what their ideas is, so we can approve it or review it. I'll give feedback if we think, you know, this could be improved or, yeah, that's what we do.
And what's the marketing plan going in for Paris? We've still got about, we got a month and a half to go before that event kicks off.
I think there's still some exciting stuff happening. I'm not talking details here.
Okay. Let's keep our eyes peeled for it.
Yes, exactly. I think it will be great to have the event in Paris also with, like, the host city election process for the Olympic Games in 2024. I think there will be a bit buzz that we can leverage on as well. Yeah, but I mean, I think, I don't know how it was in Vegas because I wasn't there at this point, but
it was a 2-hour time difference for me, so it wasn't a problem there.
But I think, you know, obviously it's important to also get the local people engaged in coming to the event. And since it's in Europe, that's the fascinating thing about Europe. We're very close connected, so I'm pretty sure a lot of Europeans will come as well and watch the event.
And last thing, we'll talk about, you know, you talked about the bid cities and the bid process for the Olympics. Now, we're looking at Budapest in 2018.
Mm-hmm.
It seems from a marketing standpoint, when you're looking at bid cities and UWW is looking at bid cities, is the shift now looking for something that's more of a destination for fans from around the world, like Paris is a city around the world people want to go to versus, no disrespect to Tashkent, Uzbekistan, not really high on the list of places that are active destinations for a lot of people.
I think it's definitely part of it. I don't want to say it's just about destination management, but often the cities that want to host Olympic Games are bidding also for...
And Budapest is like one of my favorite cities in the world. I'm elated that it's going there in 2018.
It's a fantastic city. We had the non-Olympic weight category world championships there last year. It's a fantastic city, obviously. A lot of people want to see it. And it obviously helps promoting and market the event if it's a great destination, and I think more people are inclined to go enjoying the sports plus the culture and the other advantages such a big city has to offer.
Now, from your own experiences and maybe any advice for people who want to get into sports marketing, maybe globally outside of the United States, where there's a lot of opportunities with colleges and university marketing and sports information, athletic communications type of stuff. From a global standpoint, what are some tips that you can give them?
I mean, for me, sports has always been the passion, so I always had my mindset on going into the world and making the transition from being an athlete into marketing as a professional career. My advice is start out as a volunteer. Sometimes that really helps. Olympic Games, always a fantastic opportunity, or bigger events.
And you get some swag out of it, too, if you're volunteer at the Olympics.
Absolutely. One of my favorite events is definitely Youth Olympic Games. I'm very excited about young athletes. Volunteering is always fantastic, and always keep the network going. Try to meet people. I'm not the person that likes to meet a lot of people. I always pick like one, two out of the crowd if I have the chance. And don't keep it superficial. I like to meet the person first before asking favors. So for me, it's more, do we connect on a personal level rather than just professionally?
Because
I want
something
from you.
Here's my business card.
Yeah, I don't like that.
Yeah.
I don't like that. I think it's more the personal dialogue that can foster something, or it's always easier to go back to a person you had a really nice personal conversation with to say, hey, maybe you know someone, or I've seen your company offers an internship or a trainee. That's fantastic. And always go for internships. You meet great people there, work hard in internships, and then most likely there's a job offer at the end of the internship on your table.
And sure. The Marketing and Communications Coordinator, United World Wrestling. Thank you for your time.
Thank you very much.
Is part of the Matt Talk Podcast Network.
For more wrestling podcasts, head over to MattTalkOnline.com.